If you have a beloved furry little friend in your life, you know that many pet owners consider that pet to be a member of the family. You might even believe it's important to plan for your pet's future in case you leave this earth prematurely. But you may not actually be following through and making those arrangements in the way that you should be. Joining us now to talk about why you might want to think about your pet when it comes to your estate planning and how you go about doing that is Daniel Goldgut. He is co-founder and CEO of Epilogue, an online will preparation tool. Hello, Daniel. How you doing?
Hi, Bruce. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
If you do nothing, you do not say anything about your cat, dog, ferret, lizard, and you die, what happens?
It's a good question. And it depends a little bit. So pets, in the eyes of the law, are considered to be property. So just like any other property that you have, that property is going to be disposed of.
So that was you realize that's a trigger warning for pet owners. I can't believe you uttered that phrase on the air, as accurate as it is. You have called Sparkle and Betty and Betsy property. Scandalous. Well,
I did say in the eyes of the law.
And yes, eyes of the law.
That's, I guess, where the big distinction gets made. People, as you said, off the top, view their pets much more like they view their children than they do their couch. And so, whereas in a will, when it comes to children, you're naming a guardian for your children. With pets, the term used is often guardian, but that's not really what you're doing. You're actually giving a gift of your pet to a specific person. Now, we know that that person is going to take on a guardianship role, but when you include a pet in your will, what you're doing is giving that pet as a gift to a specific person.
If you don't make that arrangement, if you don't specify, what happens? Like if you're a single person, you don't have a will, your stuff gets passed, I assume, passed to next of kin.
That's
your,
right.
Your dog goes too?
That's right. So in whatever province you are in, there are rules about what happens if you pass away without a will. And generally speaking, it follows a list as far as next of kin. So as you said, if you are a single person with no spouse and no kids, in most provinces, it's going to go up to your parents if your parents are alive, and no parents, it's going to go to siblings, nieces and nephews. And so because your pet is considered property, it's just going to be part of that, part of your assets that's going to go to whoever the province decides it should go to.
Right. Okay. So that's the, I didn't think about it, I didn't write it down method. What is the method of, no, I'm actually going to think about this. How does one choose whom should receive the gift of the pet?
So another really good question. And that obviously there's a lot of considerations out there. Are there other pet owners in your life? Are there other people in your life that know your pet, that understand how you care for your pet? And are there people who could sort of do the best job at giving your pet the life that they're, I'll call it, accustomed to? Mm. And so to love them and care for them in the way that you do. And so, you know, is there someone who lives close so that it's familiar for your pet, as opposed to, you know, to the cousin in Nova Scotia who might be your next of kin? And what would that look like for your pet?
Why do you think that so few families make arrangements for their pets?
I mean, I think there's probably two main reasons. I mean, the first is that so few people make arrangements at all.
At all.
And so that carries through, right? Like there's, you know, more than 50% of Canadian adults don't have a will at all, which means that not only have they not thought about their pets, but they haven't named guardians for children. They haven't named an executor. So, I mean, that's that first chunk of people who haven't done anything at all. And the second category, which might be a little bit tied to the first, is people just assume that everything is going to work out. You know, everyone will be reasonable and the person that should step up will step up. But that's just not how it works, right? Because the distribution is somewhat governed by the rules of the province. There's not so much, call it, wiggle room. And so it is challenging to not plan for it in terms of what happens later. What if there's multiple people that think they're the right person? It there's just sort of a host of issues that get created when you've done no planning at all.
Now, prior to Epilogue, you did work as a traditional estate lawyer, like in an office and doing these big, complicated estate plans. Did you see in that practice where pets became an issue?
Somewhat. So, I mean, I should say, when people think about pets in wills, oftentimes they think about sort of the cases that make the news. You know, the stories in the U.S. about someone creating a trust for their pet and leaving $50 million in it and stuff like that. That's the stuff that's sort of noteworthy. That's not what happens generally. I mean, in Canada and Ontario specifically, you can't do something like that. But you see the cases where, you know, someone just doesn't make any arrangements and no one steps forward. And then that's a real challenge. And or maybe no one outside the family, but they're not really now involved in this process, because if there was no planning that was done whatsoever, there's sort of a limited pool of people who are, call it, even eligible. And it can create a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. So the pet would end up, in that case, the pet would end up at the Humane Society.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. It would, you know, the person who would get the pet, because they were the one, according to the province, who should be in charge. If that person decided that they didn't want that pet, and the responsibilities that came with it, they would make their own decision about what would happen.
We have talked on this show about Epilogue and how, you know, the technology allows you to prompt users for think about this, think about this, think about this. Are pets a prompt on Epilogue, or do you have to know to tell that will creation software that you have a pet and you want to make a proper plan?
Yeah. So they are a prompt. So we ask the question, do you have any pets? And if the answer to that question is yes, then you are going to see another question that says, do you want to name a guardian for your pet? And like I said before, that's not, call it, the legal term, but that is the term that people recognize, and that's understandable. So we say, do you want to name a guardian for your pet? And if someone chooses to do so, then we ask, do you want to name an alternate guardian? So if the person that you originally named is unable or unwilling to do it, is there someone else that you want to be there as a backup? And then we ask one more question, which is, do you want to make a gift, a monetary gift, to that person, either as a token of your appreciation or to actually assist with the care,
cover
of the
food and the vet bills.
Yeah. And it's different if it's a dog or a cat or a horse, as far as what upkeep looks like and what costs look like. And so, you know, that's also entirely optional, but we give people that ability.
Now, pets don't live as long as humans. If you've got, you know, a dog or a cat, it could be 10 years, it could be 15 years, but it's not 30 years. How do you ensure that you keep that, you know, that will up to date? Do you name the pet, or do you just say, in the event that I die and I've got pets, here is how that would be resolved?
Yeah. So I think there's probably some different practices out there. At Epilogue, our practice is to not name the pet specifically, and to say, you know, the language, and it's a bit legalese in terms of what the will actually says, but it's sort of, in the vein of any domestic animals living with me at the time of my death, they would go. And you're absolutely right. I think, you know, people in their, 30s and 40s and 50s who are making wills, who have a pet, whose life expectancy is certainly shorter than their own, sometimes don't think about it or don't think it's necessary. But it is, right? Like in the sense that you want to plan for everything, and your wishes should reflect your situation right now. And if in 3 or 5 or 10 years those change, you should update your will accordingly.
Really interesting stuff. Daniel, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Daniel Goldgut is the co-founder and CEO of Epilogue, which is an online will preparation tool. We were talking about how to ensure that your pet is cared for in the event of your death.